been a High Court decision handed down today. Bob Brown Foundation were taking the federal government basically to court, saying that the forest laws were unjust, but the court has come down in favour of the laws. Hopefully that's the end of those sorts of protests and legal actions, but I think they seem to have fairly deep pockets, the Bob Brown Foundation, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the sad thing about all of this is that, you know, this crew continue to create havoc where it doesn't need to be. Today's decision by the full federal court is a massive win for the Tasmanian and indeed the entire nation's forest industry. I've said every opportunity I've had that we do forestry here better than anywhere else in the world, and I've challenged my counterparts in other political parties to name another jurisdiction where they do forestry better, and they can't name one. And the court today has found that to be the case. So we had our regional forestry agreements, the one in Tasmania, which is an agreement between the Commonwealth government and the Tasmanian government, enabling the Tasmanian government to sustainably manage and harvest their native timber forests in accordance with world best practices. The Bob Brown Foundation believed that we were in breach of all sorts of standards and laws and made their arguments. And as I say, the federal court has found them to be wrong and found in favour of the forest industry, which is a wonderful win for the forest sector. And, you know, Bob Brown himself said that it was time for a big winner just last December when he was referring to the Bob Brown Foundation's actions here. Well, we have one, and it is this industry. He also said it was time in the same interview that we moved on, and I couldn't agree more with him. Mm. We should move on. We all should. And we should back in these hard-working men and women who actually are part of a proud, sustainable, environmentally friendly industry that we do better than anywhere else in the world. And indeed, in that very same interview, he labelled this the Great Forest Case. Well, I tell you what, it has enabled us to see, and the court has confirmed this for us today, that forestry is great. It's a win for the industry. It's win for the regional communities right up and down the Northwest Coast who depend on this industry. And I just couldn't be prouder of those who participate in the industry and the products they bring to market for us. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I would like to think this is the end of the story, but sadly I don't think it will be referring to their aforementioned deep pockets, but let's hope so. On the subject of environment, the Environment Protection and Biodiversity Conservation Act, or the EPBC, has just undergone a review, and I guess there'll be recommendations coming out of that fairly soon as well.
Yeah, that's right. Look, National Cabinet last year agreed, so that is all the premiers and chief ministers from across the country, in partnership with the Prime Minister, agreed that as a nation we needed to reform our laws when it comes to managing our environment. We've spent a lot of money, hundreds of billions of dollars of taxpayers' money, which is a finite resource, has gone out into the economy, and rightly so, to support small businesses and households through some pretty tough times over the last 10 or 12 months. At the other end of it, we need to make sure that we have the right business and regulatory environment, that we are not strangling business with red tape and overly burdensome regulation. And so what was agreed is to reform this Act. This Act governs how we allow businesses and other entities to operate within the environment. And at the moment, there's a degree of duplication. You have to go through state laws as well as sometimes federal laws to get approvals to do certain things. That is stopping investment and therefore stopping new business ventures and jobs that we need as we try and reopen our economy. So there is work underway, and as I understand it, in the next sitting fortnight, laws will be introduced into the Senate for debate. They've already passed the lower house. But at the end of the day, this just enables us to get the balance right. We don't need to get two approvals when one is enough. There are people out there who will argue that this is bad news for the environment.
Well,
at the end of the day,
some may say that it's actually watering down those approval, but as you say, it's just getting rid of a duplication and unnecessary red tape. They still have to go through the approval process, and that's fairly strenuous.
It's some of the highest standards in the world when it comes to making sure we comply with protecting our environment. I mean, when it comes to tourism operations, And many of them have to go through the EPBC Act to get approval to operate in World Heritage Areas and the likes. We have to protect the environment to protect our brand. No one wants to trash it. There is no one out there, foresters, fishers, tourism operators, farmers. We all need to and want to and have an aim to protect the environment. And this is in no way watering down laws. It's in fact just removing the repeat of the first step, which is complying with those high standards of regulation, and you only need to do it once, not twice, and that's what these reforms will do, and it's a good initiative.
A sensible move, I'd suggest. The Global Forum for Food and Agriculture is underway at the moment. It goes through until the 22nd of February. This is an international event, and you've actually had some involvement in it already.
Yeah, that's right. It was something that was great excitement for me to participate in the Global Forum for Food and Agriculture. I participated in an expert panel talking about agriculture and what it has to do with the climate change in effect, what farmers can do to deal with our changing climate. I made the point that here in Australia, and no one could compare with what Australia is up to, we're all about innovation. You know, a lot of other countries subsidise their farmers so that they get the best price possible for what they produce, no matter what. What we do is we tool farmers up so that they can deliver their best quality product with the highest yield possible, no matter what the environmental conditions, all the while improving environmental outcomes, because as we know, farmers operate in the environment. And so that innovation that we support farmers to engage in was something, there were some great examples out of, and one of them I didn't know, but we all know that our cattle herds across the country, you know, they contribute to carbon emissions through methane. We have seen through an Australian innovation, something that has been thought up, invented here, by getting certain cattle herds to feed on seaweed as opposed to terrestrial feeds like grass or lucerne, that methane production from cattle herds reduced by 90%.
Wow.
So that is an Australian innovation.
I didn't know that, yeah.
Yeah, and until I participated in this forum and was given this information, I didn't know either. And so all this talk about climate change and Australia not doing its bit, let me tell your listeners now, we are. In little corners of our society, in all of our industries, be it energy generation, be it manufacturing, be it agriculture, things like this are happening, and they all contribute to a much better outcome for our environment. And that's why, as the Australian Minister, and we had the Canadian Agriculture Minister on the forum, and also one from Uganda as well, we have a very good story to tell. And, you know, Tasmanian farmers right up and down the coast are no exception to this. They know how to work the land and do it very well.
The Global Food Forum was actually in Berlin, and I guess pre-COVID, Jono, it was one of those things that you probably might have attended in person, but this time you had to do it by Zoom.
Much happier to do it from the comfort of my home. It was a little late at night, but I was better off than the Canadians who were doing it at something like 3 or 4 in the morning.
Fair enough.
better off being in Tasmania.
Good call. And finally, Jono, just quickly, Stronger Communities Program, round 6 applications are now open, and grants of up to $20,000 available for local communities.
Yeah, that's right. So it is a good program, and I think it's a great way for the Commonwealth Government to support lots of small community groups who do contribute a huge amount to our local communities and making all of these parts of our state much better places to live and to work. And in recognition of that, as you mentioned, the Stronger Communities Fund, which is the $22.6 million program, enables these groups to apply for funding. And so in order for any groups that might be listening now, get in touch with Gavin Pearce in his office, and there is $150,000 worth of grants for Braddon, and there'd be funding for up to 20 projects, grants between $2,500 and $20,000 to incorporated not-for-profit community organisations and also local governing bodies, so that they can deliver on community projects and things that will enhance life in our beautiful state. So a great initiative, and something that I hope your listeners take full advantage of.
Yeah, I think a lot of not-for-profit organisations lost their ability and their capacity to fundraise a lot during the pandemic, so this may just be a little bit of a kick-along that they need.
Absolutely, and indeed I was talking to a member of a Lions Club recently who said that nearly half of their fundraising ability had gone out the door because they just couldn't go to the shows and markets and do their sausage sizzle. A simple thing like that has really blown a hole in their capacity. So programs like this are excellent.
Absolutely perfect for it. Jono, thanks for your time as always. I appreciate it. We'll talk to you again in a fortnight.
Good on you, Martin. Take care, and we'll catch up soon.